The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.
Welcome to the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast, the top of the table podcast. The pussies are on top, and we love it when the pussies are on top, Kingy. That's exactly where they are. Why are you laughing, Tom? After 16 rounds of the year.
No, 17, Benny.
Well, they've played 16 games, haven't they?
But it's 17 rounds.
Yeah, I know, but it's technical. I'm only going on the number of games played.
Right.
And the pussies are on top, Kingy.
Yeah, okay.
What?
There's six to go.
Yeah, there's six games to go. Now, I'll put my hand up and say I did not think Geelong would be – I thought they'd be in the finals, certainly. I did not think that they would be top of the table.
Well, I had them finishing, I think, and we will replay our crystal ball on grand final day, but I think I said the Cats would finish sixth and play in an elimination final, win the elimination final and get beaten in the semi-final. And I'm happy to put my hand up and say I'm probably going to get that wrong, Benny.
Well, I mean, that's a good thing, not a bad thing.
No, it was probably, and occasionally too on K-Rock. We do maybe take the more glass half empty approach in the hope that it becomes glass half full and that we are proven wrong.
Yeah, well, the old reverse, you're talking sort of reverse Moz style.
The reverse Moz. You introduced it and I've just run with it.
Well, the thing about it, Kingy, was I just looking at it at the start of the year and I'm thinking, well, I don't know what's going to change. What was going to change? We didn't have a ruckman. We hadn't secured a ruckman in the off season. I mean, other than Segler, but then he was injured, so he wasn't going to play a part. And I honestly not sure he would have been the answer anyway. So I'm thinking, well, they've had a crack for a number of years and they've been successful. They haven't won. All these guys are a year older. And I remember asking Simon Lloyd, I don't know if it was the first game of the year or it was very early on in the year, you know, what are you going to change? Because the line of questioning was, I don't think you can expect to do the same thing and win because that hasn't won for you previously.
Yeah.
And he didn't point out, you know, he went with the political line of we've done this and we've changed this up. And I mean, the games hadn't been played at that point, but I'm thinking that the four major changes for the Cats.
Yep.
A Stacconi.
Yep.
So there's five, and the byproduct of Stacconi holding down a key position is that Blitzarves is able to play up the ground and Geelong aren't exposed in the back half.
Correct.
The other one is that Tyson Stengel.
Yeah, we never, nobody saw that.
Envisaged, no, he's a recruit who is, you know, potentially in the mix for an All-Australian. I don't know that he'll quite get there, but he's certainly in the conversation.
So what would have been the pass mark for Tyson Stengel? My pass mark for Tyson Stengel would have been 15 games and 20 goals.
Yeah, I would have thought so.
Yeah, and he's going to give us, he's played every game and he's kicked 31 or 32. I think he's averaging, it's either 31, I think it's 32. I think he's exactly two a game. So that's got him on track for, you know, low to mid 40s. And then throw in some finals. He might have a 50-goal season this year.
Well, that'd be extraordinary. I just hope, Kingy, that this is he's still in similar form late in the year. This will be his first season of a full season.
Well, I think he's now played more games in one year than he'd played in his entire career. I think he played about 14 games across Richmond and Adelaide.
It might have been 16.
Yeah, okay. So he's at that now, and he took, four seasons to do that.
Yeah.
Look, admittedly, he's coming off last year at, I know it's Sandford level, but he played, once he was let go by the Crows, he played deep in that Sandford season. Woodville West Torrens made the grand final. So at least he's conditioned to go deep, although he's had AFL preseason under his belt. So I don't expect a significant or any drop-off, to be honest, from him.
Well, I hope so. Obviously, the other thing that you can't factor in is the intangible, is that there'll be some expectation on him. After the season that he's had, he's got to this point with probably limited expectation. There will be some expectation to perform, and he's going to be, you know, expected to perform for Geelong to win the premiership. So he's another Stacconi and Stengel. Nobody saw that happening.
So no, Stacconi especially. Like Stacconi was probably, gee, if we get a dozen games into him, that'd be a great result. You know, he might come in when they maybe, you know, there might be an issue in the ruck and they send blitz halves into the ruck and, you know, maybe De Koning comes in and has a couple of cracks. But, you know, we've seen, you know, a kid that hopefully is going to go on and play 250 games for the club.
Oh, exactly. And what that does is, this important part of that is that Blitzarves, and I maintain that Blitzarves is a better defender, but he is also probably Geelong's best ruckman. Yeah. But he can play in the ruck without getting exposed in the back half, which was what was happening when he'd go and play up the ground.
And I think Stanley's benefiting from that a little bit too, that there's a bit of certainty about how they're setting up.
Yeah.
He knows what the role is for Blitzarves. It's not, you know, he's sort of got that follower sort of role, and I think it's just made life easier for Reece Stanley. And the other thing that, and this is a bit of a byproduct of Segler being injured, is they've just had to go with Stanley.
Mm.
So usually by round 16, Reece Stanley's probably had two stints in the VFL.
Yeah.
He hasn't this year.
Well, he hasn't. And the thing that I sometimes scratch my head with, his effort and intensity against Melbourne was fantastic.
Yep.
His effort and intensity against the Bulldogs, particularly in the second half, was fantastic. He's got to play with that every week. Sometimes it's lacking. Sometimes you think, hang on. I mean, I remember who did they play a week after they played the Bulldogs?
They had the bye.
They didn't play anyone, so he was solid in the bye. I reckon that
they went to Perth, play the Eagles.
And I reckon he was poor. From memory, he didn't play with anywhere near the same intensity that he played with against the Bulldogs.
Yeah, but Geelong had that just post by Malaise. He wasn't on his Pat Malone that day.
No, he wasn't. He can't afford to pick and choose, though. That's my point. His intensity was there again against Melbourne. He's got to bring that each and every week. That doesn't mean he needs a star every week. But I think if he's playing with that intensity, which we haven't really seen from him, I don't think I've ever seen. And it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, taking marks or, you know, getting possessions. It just have a bit of a presence around the ball, which is what he's been doing, it's probably helped the midfielders. The other change has been Atkins into the midfield. Has given them a bit of something different in the midfield. And the other change, which is not really a change, but it is Cameron, with a full preseason and some continuity in his football, is playing, you know, arguably the best footy of his career.
Yep.
And he is able to go up the ground and impact and do those sorts of things and then get back and kick goals. He's in really good form. Not that he was poor last year, but he's playing better this year.
Atkins going into the midfield, I think, has been good for the skipper. Because it means the skipper's not getting as, at age 34, the body's not getting as battered around as it had been in the past.
No, and I agree. And he plays a bit, the way Atkins plays is a bit like Selwood.
Yep.
Very physical sort of player. And it's not a change, but the other thing I think has happened is that Cam Guthrie has become a more impactful player. He's getting less touches but having more impact on the game. He's not getting a whole heap of those chip it sideways laterally across halfback, and he was doing a lot of that.
Yeah.
And he is actually, although he's only kicked, I reckon, four goals for the year, but he's getting more of the ball forward to centre, and he's a very good kick, and he's getting those sort of 25 to 30 possessions rather than the 37, 38. And then you think, well, he hasn't really had an impact on the game. And his leader's gained, I reckon, much better this year.
He's kicked six goals, Benny, because he had four coming into last week and he kicked two last week, including that banana.
Yes. Well, and look, that's, you want to see him getting the ball forward to centre. And I've said that for a few years. I just think he became a little bit possession orientated, and it wasn't always to the betterment of the team. But he's in career best, because he's actually impacting the game forward to centre. Mitch Duncan going to halfback has worked.
Yep.
Zach Tui playing a little bit of sort of everything from halfback to wing to whatever it is has worked. So, look, there has been some changes, and at this stage, 16 rounds in, they've all worked. Yep. Will they work in the finals? Let's hope so.
Yeah, just back on Cam Guthrie, how many goals do you reckon he's kicked for his career from 220 games?
Guessing?
Yeah.
I don't think he's been a prolific goal kicker. I'd only say about 50.
Yeah, it's about 70. He's just under 70, I think.
Yeah, he's never been. If he could add that to his game, because he is quite a good finisher.
Yeah.
That would be, if that sort of stuff can change finals. If he can get the ball 25 times to kick two goals in a final, that has the ability to get the team over the line. So there's just been a number of things that have all worked for the Cats. I mean, I think talking to someone today, you know, we're 16 rounds or 16 games into the season. They had 39 players involved in full training today.
Yeah, so right. So
they've got a full list, you know, or a relatively full list to choose from, which is the, you know, another thing that it works in their favour as well. The thing that may not work in their favour is that the VFL may not play finals.
No, they're probably cooked. If they can't beat Carlton this weekend in the VFL, Benny, they'll be done. Yeah. Because they've only actually got 5 games left, the VFL. They play this week, they've got a bye, and then they've got 4 to come. And if they can't, they probably need to win 4 of them, maybe might even have to win all of them. Although yeah. that's not beyond the realms of possibility. If you can start getting blokes back on the park, you know, once if Geelong get through this week with not any real injury issues, the VFL then have the bye. The following, when they come back from that bye, and then the Cats, I think that's the Cats game against the Bulldogs here, Geelong could have low 40s to pick from. You know, they get Stewart back from suspension. The only injury issues that are of real note are Higgins. Unfortunately, Sean Higgins has had knee surgery. Yeah. I don't think we're going to see Sean Higgins in a Geelong jumper again at AFL level.
No, I think you're right there, unfortunately, but that's the way the cookie crumbles. I think he's gone.
Yeah, which is disappointing because he's a mate of ours and we love him. And, you know, we really hoped when he came to Geelong he'd be part of something successful. But, you know, but his experience and knowledge, I know when he's been in the VFL side, he's been a real good sounding board for Shane O'Bree in providing, you know, his take on the situation in the game. He's not a silly, like I'd say, if Sean Higgins wanted to go into coaching, I suspect there's a role there for him. But yeah, you're right. The lack of VFL is going to hurt the Cats. Outside of that, there's not.
They have a reasonable draw, though, don't they? So it's not beyond the realms. If they played good footy, they could win all their games home.
All right, let me just have a look at the fixture, Benny, in the VFL. So they got Carlton this week.
What are Carlton like?
Carlton are in the 8 in the VFL, I believe. They are sitting. Let me just have a quick look at the VFL ladder. I think they're sitting about 6th or 7th when I check. No, they're actually 7th. So the Cats in their run home have got, just please hold callers as we go to the fixtures. Did have this in front of me. I know they've got Sandringham in there, which is a curtain raiser game before the St Kilda game in the AFL. Just going by club here. Cats scrolling down. And so they've got Carlton.
Yep.
Coburg, which you'd think they'd win.
Yep.
Sandringham, who sit on the ladder in 12th. So similar on the ladder. Cats are 14th.
Yep.
And then they've got Box Hill, who sits in, who are 9th. So that's very winnable. And they finish with Port Melbourne, who they should beat. So yeah, look. There is every potential the Cats, and I think they'd need to. So right now, win-loss wise, they're 6-7. They would probably need to go 10-8.
Yeah. The highest rated team they play is Carlton.
Yeah, correct. But their percentage is horrendous too. So they're probably going to need to win every one.
Right, yeah. They watch ahead of them, and they've got getting some players back. And as I said, 39 players today completed. Or, you know, took part in full training. So,
That's impressive at this time of year, isn't it?
Very, very. Yeah. But it would be a little issue if the VFL can't at least extend into 1 or 2 weeks of finals, because you really want some players to be battle hardened for a final. You wouldn't want them sitting out for 3 or 4 weeks, particularly if they're second tier type players that you need to call on. I mean, you'd have qualms if a Hawkins or somebody has 2 or 3 weeks out. But if you're calling on a player who's potentially inexperienced, you'd want them to be sort of coming in off really good form rather than having missed maybe 2 or 3 weeks of not playing footy at all.
Yeah. So Toby Conway, concussion, he won't play this week. And so he won't play until the VFL play again on July 30. Sean Higgins' knee, Jake Collar-Jasny coming back from concussion. Flynn Kroger's got glandular fever, so we might not see him again this year. He was a draftee. Cooper Stevens has got an ankle that's listed as 1 week, and Tom Stewart is suspended until round 20. So the Cats have cleared two hurdles. I always thought if the Cats could go 3-1 without Tom Stewart, that wouldn't have been a bad result.
Yeah, this is a big game, though, Saturday.
Yeah, just on the injury list, Benny, the great news is that Sam Simpson will play VFL this week.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I wonder if he could get back.
What do you think? Well, he plays, then he'll have a week off. His best case scenario is probably he needs probably three in the VFL, I would have thought, minimum.
Yeah, at a minimum, yeah.
So if four...
Probably running out. It may be that it's just a good sort of, hopefully, a fill-up to get him, because he's out of contract, isn't he?
Correct.
Hopefully he can just play a bit of reasonable footy, show something in the VFL, get through without any injuries, and then have a full pre-season.
Brandon Parfitt straight back in this week?
That's an interesting one.
That's not a simple question to answer, is it?
Not really.
If they were coming off a loss and then being smacked in the midfield, you'd probably go yes, but they're coming off a win where the midfield against Oliver, Petrarca, Viney, etc.
And with Blitzarves playing in the midfield, Atkins going into the midfield,
Dangerfield's back.
There's not an obvious spot, and Parfitt's really a midfielder. I don't know.
They're not resting anybody because they're coming off a 9-day break. I mean,
they might make him the sub.
Yeah, and that's not a bad sub.
No, he's a good sub.
The issue is though, the VFL plays Saturday arvo, and you probably want footy in him. So you wouldn't make him the sub if he's already had six weeks off.
He's had a hand injury though.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't have lost too much fitness. He'd still be able to run.
It's a touch though.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. It is an interesting one. Normal circumstances, you'd say, normal transmission, you'd say, yeah, straight in. But like you say, they're playing well. They've suddenly got midfielders in Atkins, Blitzarves, Guthrie's playing well, Dangerfield, Selwood. You wouldn't want to be upsetting the apple cart too much. I mean, Narkel goes out, Parfitt comes in, and then who do you make the sub? That's the probably interesting one. Does Colin Jasny come back this week?
If he's cleared to play, he's completed the protocol as of Saturday, but whether they bring him...
It's got to be the matchup for Kerno.
Okay, who goes to Mackay?
Well, De Koning will go to Mackay.
Yeah.
That's a big ask. He's an absolute gun, Mackay.
Yeah.
De Koning will get first crack. I'd be having Kyler Jasny in on Kerno.
Yep.
Kerno's not the sort of bloke. You need somebody who's very mentally switched on to play on Kerno.
Is he giving away too much height to Kerno?
Well, how tall's Kerno? That'd be the same height, wouldn't they?
Let's have a look. Charlie Kerno.
Charlie Kerno would be about 193. Kyler Jasny's 193. He'd weigh about the same.
Yeah, 192 Kerno.
So Kerno's given away a centimetre. So,
I thought Kerno was taller than that.
No.
He plays taller than that.
He does. And look, he's in form. He's a gun. He's going to kick some goals. You just got to limit them. Yeah. I think Colin Jasny is ideal. He's an ideal matchup for him. If that wasn't to work, you could try Henry. I wonder if Colin Jasny comes in, who goes out? Is it O'Connor or Zach Guthrie?
Zach Guthrie,
I think O'Connor's just going.
Yep.
I don't know that there's a spot for him. I think Zach Guthrie is probably ahead of him at the minute. And that's providing that they do bring Colin Jasny back. But I think Colin Jasny in, O'Connor out, Narkel out, and Parfitt in.
Yep. The ladder's tight, Benny. Like, as much as you go, gee, you're on top of the ladder, but you can actually lose one. And he can tumble very quickly, but with how tight it is.
Really big game because Carlton joined Geelong on 48 points if they win.
Yes.
They won't go above them because of the percentage. And the other thing you've got to remember is finishing one or two could be enormous. I mean,
huge. If
you've got to travel to Perth to play Frio.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Because you would think, right, so on the balance of probabilities, Melbourne beats Port Adelaide, Fremantle beats Sydney, the Lions have been ravaged by COVID, so they're no certainty to beat the Giants in Canberra. And if Carlton were to beat the Cats, the Cats could actually fall, they won't fall to fifth, but if other results went their way, they would drop to, depending on margins, they'd be third potentially.
Yeah. Yeah. But the stakes are pretty high in terms of where they're going to finish.
But win, and then you win, and then you've got a two-game buffer on Carlton.
Yeah, well, exactly right. You've actually got some breathing space. So you just can't afford any lapses. I mean, the traditional wisdom, talking to a few people around town, is that, winning seven in a row, you're due for a howler.
Yeah.
Seems that footy world circle works like that. The Cats due for a howler. Traditionally, Carlton have actually played quite well against Geelong, even when they've been poor.
Yeah, beat the Cats down at GMHBA when we just came back from COVID a couple of years ago, Benny.
Yeah, they did. And even I remember some games that Eddie had or Marvel where Carlton may not have won, but they've certainly been pushed Geelong all the way when Geelong was superior side. So they'll remember that, Carlton. They'll get 65,000 there, I reckon, maybe on Saturday night if the weather's okay.
Yeah, it should be cracking. There's no reason for Geelong fans not to be there either. Like Saturday night.
Well, it's a bit of a litmus test. I don't like travelling Cat fans, particularly night games. Well, Saturday night.
Yeah.
Interesting to see what sort of numbers turn out. Hopefully they do, but traditionally I know there'll be 50,000 Carlton fans there.
Yeah, absolutely.
They'll be up and about. Oh, absolutely. They'll be just derobing if they win.
All right. Some questions, Benny.
Will you? Yeah.
This is from Foxdogs 50. Welcome back, boys. Because we had a break. We went a mid-season break last week. Kingy, I'm sorry to give you the bad news, but your partner in crime has been cheating on you. He's been cheating on you with another podcast. He's been sending questions to the Geelong official podcast.
Oh, I sent one.
What did you send?
I sent this. Tom Lottigan was hosting it. I suppose I'd never heard it, actually. I don't know what happened with it, but did you ever see it? No, did it ever come out? So we had to send questions to Tom. About to Tom, and I just asked whether the pumpkin in the urn was the highlight of his career at the Cats. So I don't know whether he actually responded to it.
That's Nathan Ablett with the pumpkin in the urn.
Yes. Oh, that to this day and will probably remain my favourite Geelong Football Club story.
All right.
Premierships, anything. The pumpkin going in the urn to cook it. Was quite extraordinary.
About a month ago, I sent a question about Tanner Bruin coming to Geelong. Back then, Kingy, you said he's enjoying being up there. A month later, the water is getting warmer and the speculation of Bruin asking for a trade is growing. Any inside rumours you may have heard? The people I spoke to said he was happy there.
But can't be that happy.
Well, no, I suppose waiting to see what falls with a new coach and stuff like that as well.
As a second-year player, if you're worried about the coach, you probably – I think that – I don't know. It just seems to me that I think if whichever club shows real interest in him and is prepared to give us something up, which they're going to have to do, I think he's certainly on the – if he was happy, he would have signed by now.
Now, the Giants showed some interest in Asava Radigalia.
Yeah.
Would you send Radigalia and Narkle to the Giants in exchange for Tanner Bruin?
Yeah.
All right, deal done. Thank you, Benny. Can you just give Wayne Campbell a call?
Good work. Yeah, we can do that. That wheeling and dealing there. I think that would be I think Bruin can be a very, very good player.
Yeah.
Longer need some artillery in the midfield in the coming years because some of these players aren't going to be around. So makes sense. What is he, 20, 21?
20.
Yeah.
Great win versus the D's. This is Howler 41. No relation played his best game. Thought step. See, even no relation is growing. In the listenership.
Yeah, well, I love a bit of for those that are switched on that way inclined, Tom.
Yeah, who like to work a little bit.
Who maybe, have sort of fired up the beater.
Yeah. he used
to come on beater, didn't he?
Yeah, pardon?
He used to come on beater.
Yeah, Larry, his best fights were on beater.
he couldn't really produce too. He had it.
Yeah. Yes, we know. Thought Stanley and Blitz did a superb job on Gorn and Jackson, but I feel they may have been a bit underdone. Be interesting this week versus the Blues. SDK take Mackay. Colo on Silvani, Henry on Kerno, but you reckon Colo to Kerno.
That would be my thinking. I think, Kerno is a type of player that you need somebody who's very mentally disciplined, and that's Colo Jasny. Now, I know he's not everyone's cup of tea, but he's been in reasonable form bar a couple of howling mistakes against Richmond, which cost goal. I get that. But he's defensively, I think he's been very good. And I think you need to have a player who's prepared to sacrifice his own game and go and play on someone. And Curnow's that sort of player. Curnow doesn't like to get up the field a whole lot. They try and I watched the game last week, West Coast Carlton, and he and Mackay, whereas Cameron tends to come up the field a lot more, Curnow doesn't do that as much.
Yep.
Likes to sort of play more the old two-pronged.
Yeah.
When you got the two prongs going.
Yes.
I love a two-prong sort of attack. He does that. So college, that's perfect for Colin Jasny. And I think he's physically capable. They're the same height. He's as strong as an ox, Colin Jasny. Okay, athletically, he's not Curnow, but what defender is, bar maybe Jeremy Howe? You're not going to have a player who matches him perfectly. And if you try that, that doesn't work, then you maybe go to a Henry or you even try a Blitzarves or, you know, whatever it is. But I'd be giving Colin Jasny first crack. I think he's earned it.
All right. A query mark on Mark O'Connor. I understand he's had 2 years of injuries, but he's really struggled and could be one to miss out come finals. He had tagged at times, but Atkins can do that now and still find the ball.
Yeah, I'm starting to think that, that he is struggling. He's just going defensively. Just going and offensively not really providing much. So I wonder whether, he comes out, Colin Jasny in, that's what I'd be going with, but probably be 100-1 with it.
Sydney Melichelis, who has the best current name to scream out at the top of your lungs in commentary? Still hard to top Yablet in the all-time rankings, although Chappie gives it a run for its money. My current vote goes to Jezza, although I do love saying to my son, every time number 45 does something good, that was close.
There's a few there. I don't know who I like sort of saying. I don't mind. Koenig's my new favourite player.
Yeah.
So we don't mind. I don't mind saying him. I don't mind. Well, the MP was good, but he doesn't play as much. So
he kicked four in the VFL last week. Very good.
Five.
Yeah, it was very good. See, he's another one that might go, geez, they have room for me in this forward line.
Yeah, well, that's right. He might head somewhere else and you could under...
GWS.
Yeah, what? Yes. Well, you can be part of the package for Tanner Bruin.
I don't have one player that I...
I don't mind Orazio Fantasia. I quite like saying that.
Daz Broncos. Gents, my work here is done. 3 games attended, 1 buzzer beater over the Ferals on their deck, 1 spifflication and 1 hard-fought win over the league leaders. Damn successful trip on that alone. Imagine coming this far and being a North fan. Can we keep it going? Remains to be seen. But with that in mind, what is the most important thing going forward we need to keep doing well that will put us over the edge?
We'll maintain the range, Daz. Yeah. Just continue the form you're in. I mean, clubs will, trot out the line. We've got to get better. And the reality is, they're not going to get better. They've got to maintain this level and still be playing like this. And we've seen this party before, haven't we?
Yeah. Is it Blitzers, the Swiss Army knife of mids playing Ruckman following the 2 best mids in the opposition centre square? Is it Tom Atkins continuing to be a revelation in the guts? Is it good ball supply to Tomahawk, Jezza and Stengel? It's probably a trick question. It's all of them.
Yeah, 100%. It's De Koning continuing to hold down a key position. It's, the defence playing well. It's being able to hold up when the momentum is against you. That's what the good teams do. Like the good teams, because, I mean, when you're playing a good side, you aren't going to have it on your terms the whole game. It's the good sides hold up when the game's against them. That's probably the trick. And that was the trick for Richmond when they were a really good side, and Geelong for that matter. You don't get scored against. You're able to set the shit teams get 6, 7, 8 goals kicked on them. The good teams only get 2 or 3. And then when they've got control and when they've got the momentum, they're able then to actually produce and kick goals. That's what good footy teams do. So, Kingy?
Yes, Benny.
Why do your feet smell?
Yeah, and your nose run.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Can you explain that?
No, I can't.
Can you ask about the stand-up comedian?
No, Benny. He had great to catch up and see you from LA. Now, Daz and I actually had lunch at the Sir Charles Hotham Hotel in Geelong on Friday. He hoovered in a palmy. I had the Thai fried rice. He's asked me now, he's got your Bengals t-shirt. He's asked if it fits okay. You haven't seen it yet, so you'll see it on Saturday. And he's asked me how many bullets down. He actually brought me, you can't buy them in Australia. I drink like Coors Light beer. And he brought me the silver bullet cans, which I usually drink in the casinos in Vegas. I've had one. I'm having one a week between now. There's 15 in there, and I go to America in 15 weeks, and I'm having one a week. That's my little beer a week before I go to the States.
How many of them are you having a week?
What's that?
Oh, is that what you're talking about? I thought you were talking about something else. You're only having one a week.
Right. And B Davey 22, evening, gents. A great win last week. It was great to see us try some new things and risk it not paying off. Blitz roaming across all players in the center square and trying to avoid the kick down the line to their tools was great to watch. Hopefully some more tricks to come in the coming weeks. I think Parfitt coming back opens up the opportunity to always have one of he and Atkins in the midfield at times. Similar styles as that defensive-minded mid to complement our attackers in Paddy, Selwood and co. When Atkins is there, really do the opposition walk about with ease. They are made to work for it. He has been a revelation and a joy to watch in the midfield.
Yep. Wholeheartedly agree.
Yep. If you haven't discussed this already...
If we're in Parliament, they go,
If you haven't discussed already, we'll be interesting to watch with Collar, Jasny and Stewart to come back. It will probably be Kid Guff that goes, but I'm struggling to see O'Connor's role. Joined him as a lockdown tagger, but can't see how he fits when all key players are back, all things going well, injury-wise. Yeah, I think we're all...
I think Guthrie, as I said, Guthrie, I think, is playing better than O'Connor. And with Blitzarves playing that role in the midfield, I don't think you can put O'Connor in the midfield, which makes him the what you would classify as the spare dick.
Benny, on that note, I'm done. I've had enough. I've had a big day, and that's enough of the podcast for this week. And we're big one, 5:30 Saturday night. Think Steve Hocking joining us, and we're trying to get Brian Cook to join us as well.
Oh, really? The cookie monster.
Yeah, so it'd be good to have a chat with him.
Rightio. Look forward to a kingy. Really looking forward to Saturday night. It should be an absolute crack. I haven't seen the weather forecast, but let's hope it's not too bad because really, really big game. Blues are up and about. Hawkins, Cameron versus McCoy and Curnow at the other end just be sort of a pants down type arrangement.
Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.